Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Yes, it is that time again, as it is every Monday, 10 till 10.30, right here on Love Sport Radio. Love Sport HQ is the Aston Villa fan show. It's your team, your voice, nothing but Villa news for the next 30 minutes. And who better than to tell us of all the Villa news at the minute than Ryan Pitcher, who joins us now from under a gaslit lamp, because what a game it was on the weekend. Incredible atmosphere. Villa taking on Liverpool, unbeaten in 27 games before this one, flying high at the top of the league, European champions. Well, Villa nearly upset them, didn't they? Going 1-0 up, 87 minutes, still 1-0 up. Not to be. Ryan, where do we start? Me and you have already chatted today. What is coming up on the menu? I know there are a few things we are going to talk about. I am really looking forward to this one. But before we hear your views, I just want to say we can hear everyone's views on Love Sport Radio. It's your team, your voice. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. And me and Ryan will see what you're talking about, Villa. Well, Ryan, it was nearly so close, inches away from getting that 3 points, ending Liverpool's run. Did you think it was happening?
Yeah, it's devastating. absolutely devastating. To lose it so late on, it just really hurts. But, you know, it's a strange one. It's what I've really come to expect over the years. It's ever since
I
can remember.
Come on, mate. I look forward to this Monday night.
Ever since I can remember, you know, it seems that we always have, you know, victory snatched away from us late on in games. And, you know, it's I was thinking about this the other day, and it's seldom can I recall anything opposite. But, no, in all honesty, the pragmatist in me tells me not to feel too aggrieved with the result. You know, 20-odd games ago, we were sitting mid-table in the Championship with little hope of being where we are today. So, you know, and then even further, you know, 18 months ago, since we're in the midst of money problems, and who'd have thought it, then we'll be narrowly getting beat by Liverpool at home. But in terms of the game itself, I thought we were excellent in the first half. El Ghazi obviously had that early chance, and I think purely for our hard work, we really deserved to go 1-0 up. I don't think Trez hit as cleanly as he had hoped, and you know, you'd have to say that Alisson could have done better, but you know, we'll obviously take it. A little bit fortunate with the Firmino offside goal, but so much given against us that we've covered over the past few weeks, we're definitely due one. So yeah, there were definitely plenty of positives to take away from it.
There certainly were positives, and you know, it was a huge game. Villa were up for it. They were up for it more than anyone. Obviously, no Jack Grealish on the day. And coming into that game, Ryan, it was, you know, 15 out of 16 losses against the big six. But Villa fancied their chances, and it's interesting. Obviously, I know the game turned at the end, and it does go in cycles like that, because the game turned in Villa's favour when they played Brighton at Villa Park. But were you thinking, you know, even before the way, we've got a chance here? Everyone keeps telling me about Liverpool look vulnerable, even though they're at the top and they're not firing all cylinders or picking up points. But Villa had their own good bit of form. Did you think before the game, we could do this?
Well, I wouldn't have predicted a win last week if I didn't think we could do it. No, I mean, I said that I thought we had a chance at home, especially. Mm. I know over the years we've obviously had some shock victories at Anfield. But no, I genuinely thought, you know, what with the crowd on side, it's just one of those things, you know, it's the hope. It's the hope that kills you. But I genuinely believe that we would have had a chance on Saturday, and obviously we pushed them, you know, as far as we could. You know, for most of the second half, I think it's fair to say that they were knocking on the door. You know, they obviously had the Oxlade-Chamberlain, all those shots that were blocked, the Mane header, the Lallana chance. But we stood firm and defended really stoutly. And I think that big chance for us around, what, just before the 80th minute mark, when Trezeguet gets in, yeah, and he makes a reverse pass to Houlihan, and that pass just had a little bit too much on it, and as Connor goes to square it, he gets it all wrong. If it had been a little bit lighter, obviously he would have, you know, certainly had a shot there. But yeah, it's that's the game right there, and it's fine margins at this level.
Yeah, obviously stating the obvious, you know, it's football. When goals happen, it changes games, but that is such a big moment for Villa. They go 2-0 up against the European champions, and with 10 minutes to go, it's a watershed moment. And even the commentary was saying, you know, is this going to come back to haunt Villa? And was that the feeling amongst the crowd, the general fans' consensus, that, you know what, we should have taken that? Did you feel like you was holding out, or afterwards you just knew that Liverpool maybe not would get the win, but they were going to come back and get the point?
I don't think we thought that would... there's always a chance, you know, when you're playing against quality opposition. I thought they were knocking on the door a little bit before that. I wouldn't say that we looked vulnerable by any stretch of the imagination, yeah. But, you know, I'm always confident in our defence. And, you know, there were times there... The funny thing... Well, I say the funny thing, not so funny, but the goals came from... Obviously, one was the set-piece, the winner, but then the other one, mainly, you know, is a Marnie cross from out in the wide areas. But it was centrally where we were starting to look vulnerable. And that's been a trait of Villa throughout this season, particularly late on in games. They were causing us no end of problems. You know, Nakamba, again, fans love Nakamba. I love Nakamba. But late on in a game, he just gets pulled all over the place. And it's nothing that I've said before. He's there as a defensive midfield player. He shouldn't be any more than 10, 15 yards from Mings and Engels as centre-halves. And he just gets lost. He gets lost further up the park. And it could be through tiredness, I don't know. But even through tiredness, you'd say it's probably a lot more easier to play within yourself. You know, you see someone like an N'Golo Kante, who's obviously renowned for his energy levels and, you know, backwards and forth. You know, I think Nakamba's got that as well, is in terms of from an energy level perspective. But he just goes a bit wayward. I don't know whether he fully understands and appreciates how important his role is in there sometimes, particularly so late on in the game. Although that didn't end up costing us this time, that's where I felt we looked vulnerable going to the latter stages of the game.
Yeah, let's talk about the incidents in the game. Let's go in order then, because obviously you talk about that goal, and I felt like maybe a little bit or harshly so that Villa switched off in that one. But talking of switching off, I felt like Liverpool completely switched off, because Villa did have a bright start, but they switched off for your goal, didn't they? And also Trezeguet, his first goal for the club.
Yeah, and they obviously had a look at it. You know, obviously had a little look on Match of the Day when I got home, and I saw that. They definitely switched off at that set piece. Trezeguet again, I think he was good movement. Certainly, if I recall correctly from when I watched it when I got home, is, you know, I think there were a couple of bodies potentially offside, but he certainly wasn't, and he came from deep. He didn't, as I said a minute ago, he didn't really connect cleanly, and Alisson should have done better. You'll take them, as I say, they wouldn't hit the back of the net. Obviously, brilliant.
Yeah, and obviously there was a huge incident for Liverpool in the game, and I know the Villa fans will be honest about it. But the no goal for Firmino, VAR, Ryan, I suppose just talking it from a VAR perspective and angle, it just, no one knows where we stand with it, do we? Because how that they've seen Firmino offside, we can't get it at all. Especially when we're seeing on other TV, you know, that apparently VAR can even be manipulated at some points where they even draw that line.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to read up on it the other day after the game. I was trying to read up on, I think there was a thread by, I think it was some journalist, and basically trying to explain the angles and such. And that still baffled me, because, you know, I thought we'd got away with one, and later when I watched it again and again, I still can't see where they've drawn that conclusion. I don't understand these angles, these lines, because, you know, when you look at it in real time, and the difficult thing is I haven't really seen an angle that's straight on, but I would say if you were looking at that straight on, it would be onside. But when you slant it where you're looking at, as we've seen in the replays, as you're looking, say, forward facing to the right hand side, well, of course it's going to look offside. Yeah. You know, I don't know whether it's acute angles, clever angles. I don't know what it is. But to me, of course, it's going to look on offside. If you're looking at it straight on, is that's probably where you're going to get the best view of it. I mean, that's why the linesmen are straight on. They're not running at angles. They should be keeping up with play. And they should be looking it straight across the line. That's what I don't know why the camera angles aren't like that, but...
It is very strange when the linesmen not flagging. It's all a bit too much. Well, the actual game, obviously, look, a big thing I want to do talk about, because obviously the key stat, Villa are 1-0 up, 87 minutes, 3 minutes to go. And we know it happens in football. Comebacks happen. You're playing the European champions. But any level of football, right? Again, I'm stating the obvious. You've got to be holding on, you know, especially when what Villa are trying to do here, they're a newly promoted side. They want to climb that little bit higher. And it kind of, Ryan, leads me into the stats because, you know, Aston Villa have lost 11 points in games where they have gone ahead this season. That's more than any other Premier League side. And we're talking about they've started well, you know. Obviously, they won 2 on the bounce last month, now lost back-to-back games. But just think, how much better could it have been, Ryan, with that? Because that is huge. We're not talking 3-4 points here. 11 to already on that total is massive, considering we are only in November, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look at that stat, I mean, that would put us right up the league table. But, you know, obviously, I know we've mentioned it before, and, you know, I still appreciate that it's small sample size, but when does that start turning? When does it start going, hang on a minute, this is a trend that's quite worrying? I know, you know, certainly a lot of opposition fans wouldn't have expected us to beat Liverpool or perhaps even hold out for that long. These are games, yes, okay, they're not going to be the ones that define our season in terms of the opposition that we're playing, the type of opposition. Obviously, they're going to be competing for the league, possibly win the league title, and we're going to be, you know, still trying to stay in the Premier League. That's the objective. But we've had this run of games. We've obviously had City, Liverpool, we've got Wolves away, Manchester United coming up. And then after that, we kind of go into a run of fixtures where we should be winning games. The concern being is that we continue that trait into those sorts of games. We really need to, you know, cut this as soon as possible. Otherwise, you know, you could find yourself you could get yourself into trouble a little bit later on down the line. Fortunately, obviously, then we have the January transfer window, and obviously we can re-strengthen. So, yeah.
Well, again, and that stat leads into another stat, and I want to talk about the strengthening because I want to talk about the players you've already acquired. But another big stat coming out from the weekend, top six in scoring. You're a newly promoted side. It's fantastic considering the sides in the league. But that's why you're down there, because you're in the bottom three for the conceding most goals, and that's just not the balance that Dean Smith wants or any Villa fans want.
No, but I think it goes to show that, you know, he wasn't going to change the style of play just because, you know, we've been promoted. You know, I think it shows that we're being positive. I think from the goals conceded statistic and our goals against tally is that comes from not necessarily playing poorly being poorly defensively throughout. You know, obviously earlier on in the season we had, you know, we did make a few defensive errors. You know, they're well documented. But I just genuinely think it's potentially late on in-game management is where we're struggling. And as I said, as I've mentioned the central areas before, I'll mention it again. That is the key area where we are getting caught out during games. That's where teams are killing us. Centrally, and as I said, I don't think you can lay any blame on Mings and Engels. They've been excellent for me this season. Is there are times when they're just far too overly exposed for my liking, and particularly late on in the games, and this is why it's happening. I'm not sure, you know, whether it's legs in the middle of the park. I'm not sure what it is, but we just look, you know, we're opened up like a tin of beans, and it's just not. It's not pretty to watch later on in the game.
Well, this is the issue, because obviously we mentioned the losing of 11 points in games when they've gone ahead, and we know what this league's like. You went 1-0 up against Spurs, obviously 1-0 up against Liverpool, and you both go on to lose those games. But Dean Smith afterwards in his conference said, this is tough to take, and it is tough to take because you're clearly in matches, you're competing, you're playing very good football, you know, everyone's enjoying watching Villa so far this season. But how do they overcome that hurdle? How do they stop this? Because, you know, Dean Smith maybe would have taken maybe a little bit more of a boring game result if it wouldn't have been so drastic in that losing 11 points, weren't he? How do they stop that?
It's a tough one to call. I mean, it is really, really difficult. I mean, I think at the weekend, I think everyone was flat out on their feet. You could tell that they were flat out on their feet. And I sort of understood, you know, the decisions in game. Maybe I probably wouldn't have taken Wesley off for Codger. I kind of get the thinking, but I don't at the same time. Is, you know, he probably wants a bit of, you know, he wants legs to kind of take a little bit of pressure off the defence, so we can knock it long, and maybe Codger run the channels a little bit potentially. But ultimately, is when you're approaching later on in the game, it's all about defensive reinforcement to me, particularly in a game like that. Wesley, he'll still be there, he'll still be competing for the ball. You know, we were probably going to go a lot longer and direct up to him, obviously, as the game went on, and just try and see it out. Is I would have taken legs in the middle of the park all day. I know that that's not where the goals came from, but I do think, you know, you need to think of your changes where, you know, you need to tighten things up a little bit. Obviously, he decided to take Wesley off, and he decided to look at the wide players. Obviously, he brought on El Mohammadi. And yeah, I don't know. It's very hard to pinpoint. I think there's a number of reasons. One, as I've mentioned on the show before, we expend so much energy early doors. That's very clear to see. And whether that's a factor, I'm not sure. I wouldn't say our fitness levels are particularly a concern. You know, there were times under Bruce where, you know, I thought our fitness levels were really, really poor. I wouldn't necessarily say that with Dean Smith. Whether it's concentration levels, I just don't know. But there are times where we do look far too vulnerable and exposed later on in games.
Yeah, well, it certainly brings up a big talking point and debate for Villa, the late stages of any games, because leaders Liverpool fighting back to take down Villa. Well, the attention quickly turns to Wolves on the weekend, who Aston Villa just recently beat in the Cup. We're going to be looking at that game, and me and Ryan have got something special up our sleeve, because we're going to be grading the players of sorts.
Love Sport.
You are still listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show right here on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. We're talking everything where Villa are concerned, as we do every Monday 10 till 10:30. Well, we talked about the disappointing defeat to Liverpool on the weekend, but it is Wolves on the weekend. What a huge rival game that is. And they just played each other in the Cup. Aston Villa taking the spoils there, getting one over their rivals. I'm sure they would have enjoyed those bragging rights. And before we look at those games, Ryan, because we will turn our attention and get your prediction, your favourite bit, I know, let's quickly talk, because a lot's being made, and it was made, of Fulham last year, spending $100 million. Look how that turned out for them. Well, now Aston Villa, they spent a lot of money this summer, signed a lot of new players, ones that are doing, but Aston Villa are really doing well. People going, oh, Aston Villa are going well in the league, they won't get relegated, they're going really well, which I'm sure will please all Villa fans. But let's quickly take a snapshot of the players. We're going to grade them, and you have kindly for us, Ryan. Let's start then. We'll do a ranking system of sorts. We'll work our way upwards. And you're being generous. You know, it is a small sample size. We know that. So don't get caught up on the grades too much if you are listening. But let's start with your two players who you are giving so far a D grade.
Yeah, Courtney House and Ezri Konsa. It's not through any fault of their own. They've just not played much, you know, excluding the Carabao Cup games. Both, obviously, you know, quite young, and they will be given opportunities at some stage. But, you know, they just don't have a real sniff at the minute getting in ahead of Mings or Engels. So yeah, but no, it's through no fault of their own. But, yeah. Bedding in, I think it's fair.
Bedding in, yeah. We're being polite to everyone, but they are on a D grade. Let's move up. C grade then. Who gets the C grade for you, which is a GCSE pass?
I'd say Amwell El-Ghazi. You know, I think he'll be the first to admit that he's not had the best of starts this season. Just been a bit quiet. I thought he was really good against Liverpool, by far his best. You know, obviously failed to trap Robertson for the equaliser, but he caused them issues up the other end of the pitch and did his defender's duties for the most part. But yeah, he's a C. Wesley, he's a C. And I know he scored 4 Premier League goals, but they were all tap-ins, excluding the Everton one.
It's harsh,
which did
Ryan,
well.
Harsh.
No, I mean, it's not a bad
look at the
school
of marking
goals wise, but he just doesn't put himself about enough. You know, we've mentioned it before. You know, he did well against Liverpool, but he just doesn't really show his qualities enough. He gives away a lot of set pieces, and I know that not some of them, you know, aren't his fault. It's just poor refereeing. But you know, he just slowly lumbers his way into the box, and you know, he just needs to do a little bit more for me. Obviously, working his way into the league, he's a C.
I'm glad you weren't my teacher. I wouldn't have handed in my homework. You know, you're a Villa fan. You know, should be happy. He's calling them tap-ins. Unbelievable form from you, Ryan Pidgeot. Let's move on to the B minuses.
Yeah, I would probably put Trezeguet in there. I'd probably put him a C plus B minus. You know, he'll run around all day long, but sometimes he just lacks that bit of quality and composure. For the hard work alone, I think I'll mark him up to a B minus, but he has a bit of improving to do. You know, obviously it's a big step up from the Turkish league. You know, a great deal for us commercially, I believe. You know, you look at the traction that he has over in Egypt. You know, I think he's got like, you know, 2 million Twitter followers almost. I mean, it's almost, you know, I think as a club, we've only got 1.2 million. I mean,
that's incredible. Yeah, that is absolutely mad. Who's made your B list? Now we're starting to get into the teacher's pets, the real stars.
I think Tom Heaton, you know, he's always solid and dependable and seldom makes an error. You know, I think excluding the penalty he gave away against Bournemouth earlier on in the season, I really can't think of many mistakes at all. And the goals that we have conceded have been really down to defensive errors or simply being opened up. So he gets a B. Matt Target, you know, he didn't come straight into the side, and that's by this time. You know, Neil Taylor was given the nod at left back originally. He's come in and obviously showed us what we've been missing at left full back over the past few years. Someone who just isn't afraid to get forward and support the attack rather than play it safe, as opposed to Taylor. Another B, a couple of Bs in the middle of the park. Again, Marvellous and Akamba. Maybe a bit harsh. I think the fan base might say I'm a bit harsh there. Solid for the large part, but can still get pulled out of positions. I know I mentioned it earlier on in the show at times, you know, especially late on in games, maybe when he's getting a bit leggy. But he's a B, and as is Douglas Luiz. Definitely a player in there. I've said it before, you know, and you don't get called up to the senior Brazil side if you ain't some form of baller. He's not fearful of having a shot at goal, and he's got a good array of passing ability, so he gets a B from me.
Well, are you enjoying Ryan's grade so far? Because now we get to the top of the class, the top two anyway. Who comes out with an A grade, Ryan?
Engels. Such a solid start. You know, similar to Mings in a sense, where he just blocks things for fun. Really good composure on the ball, especially, you know, when he came in. And I'm not going to lie, I hadn't seen much of him. You know, it was just catching up on videos, but I didn't expect him to be so good and composed on the ball for such a lanky fella. But he'd looked a real steal at 9 million.
Yeah, and there has to be one. There has to be one with a medal and one who gets the top prize. And I think you do have one A-star student in your class, Ryan.
Yes, I do indeed. Tyro Mings. What more can I possibly say about this man? You know, he just goes further and further justifying his price tag each and every game. And a consummate professional, you know, and just a massive pleasure to have him here at Villa. And, you know, obviously recently recognised at international level. Just credit where credit's due.
Yeah, and fair play to Mings and Dean Smith, because so much was made, weren't they, when they signed him for that price tag. Like, they've overspent. He's not worth that. He was at Bournemouth for now, you know, as Dean Smith mentioned, he's probably worth more, you know. It was a really shrewd signing, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we had no doubt, you know, I've said on the show before, we had no doubt that it would prove his price tag, just price tag 10 times over. And for me, he's definitely got, you know, everything in the locker in terms of, you know, being a real cult hero and growing into a cult hero. For as long as he stays at Villa, there's no doubt he will be a cult hero.
Well, just quickly then, Ryan, as we draw to the end of the show, it is Wolves on the weekend. It's a massive game. We spoke about it before, and it was really interesting that you mentioned this, and I actually brought this up on the Wolves fan show, how the game between Aston Villa and Wolves, you know, it's become a little bit more heated over the years. That rivalry's intensified, you know. Now you're both in the same league. It used to be a pre-season friendly. You had your own rivalries, you know, obviously with West Brom and Wolves and stuff. And but now this one at Birmingham, excuse me, this one's really crept up. Obviously, beating them in the Cup 2-1, there was a lot of changes, but you got bragging rights. You're hoping bragging rights stay this way, though, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a tough game. You know, they've certainly found their feet after a bit of a dodgy start. I think they're like unbeaten in what's half a dozen in the league. And obviously
picking up some good Europa League results as well.
as well, yeah. So they're in good form, and obviously they have had a couple of really, really good results, obviously at City, and then they got a point at Arsenal. So yeah, and they've obviously got a few names nowadays. Obviously, when we used to go there back in the day and give them a wallop in, it was totally different. But, you know, now they've got some really good players, you know, the Jotas, the Neveses, Jimenez, Martino, and so forth. And, you know, I expect a really tough game. I expect a fast-paced game with challenges going in all over the place. So it certainly makes up for, you know, a really fun Sunday. So, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
And what is your score prediction, Ryan?
I'm going to go with a 2-1 Villa win.
Oh, repeating the scoreline from the Cup?
Yes, I am indeed, yeah.
Come on then, the Villa. As always, though, whatever happens, me and you, Ryan, will be here to discuss that game and review it, hoping for a Villa win. Well, this has been the Aston Villa Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say, as I always am, joined by Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. And what we do on Love Sport, we do fan shows. That was the Villa one. And up next is Derby. We give your team a voice. So join in.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.